You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
But I love listening to you guys in the morning. So I just wanted to call in, give you somebody so somebody can hate on you.
Excellent.
A little bit for me calling, and we're friends.
You heard that, right? Slee, M, Jorge, you guys all heard that. I can testify in court that Oral Hershiser and I are friends. He just said so. Makes me feel good. Look at the smile on my face.
I think I want to take 10% of the credit just because he said, I love listening to you guys. Even though I think the guys meant mostly you, I still take 10%.
Yeah, I'm taking the 5%. Yeah,
that's it.
As long as I'm included, that's all I really care about. By the way, I'm stealing that line. You know they're going to lose 50 times, 60 times. You lose 50 times, it means you won 112. It's a lot of games.
That's a really good way to put it.
It was a bad week. They played, like he said, was below the line.
Did he sound like he was concerned at all?
No.
Nothing.
It's so funny. So,
and you said that a couple days ago, coming out of that series against, who did they play last?
Mets.
Yeah, it was Mets. It's like, calm down. Everything's okay.
They played bad.
But listen, I don't think it's out of the ordinary to have expectations right out the gate. It's like, this team's just going to – they start 10-4, something like that. And I think they go 3-6 over the course of
It's so funny.
Games.
I was telling them, and not to go too far behind the curtain, I have a button on my little console here that I can push that cuts my mic over the air that allows me to talk to Jorge and Emily. So you're asking Oral that question about – one team's got your number, right? One team, and the Nuggets have the Lakers' number right down.
I didn't see what you said to them, but I was putting the pieces together because all you did was just kind of take a step.
All right, he pushed the button, and he says he's going to answer about the 1988 Mets. And then he went back.
Literally segued right to him talking about the 1988 Mets.
Did you know that was the answer?
You've told me that before. You've mentioned that to me before, that they struggled against the Mets.
It was the perfect question to the perfect person, because the Mets beat the Dodgers 11 out of 12 times in 1988. 11 out of 12. That's not like, that's them kicking your butt. The Mets were loaded with good players. Gary Carter, Keith Hernandez, Daryl Strawberry, Greg Jeffries. They were just, Lenny Dykstra. They were loaded. Loaded with guys. And the Dodgers had a team that I'm going to get this a little wrong. I think they won like 86 games. They were good, but they weren't like a special team. But they had that dude pitching a couple of came out of the bullpen in that series in one game. Okay. It was just this crazy confluence of events that they win. Then they beat the A's, who won like 100 billion games that year.
Sure.
And especially in baseball.
Use the Dodgers as that example in these playoff runs.
They've been on the wrong side of that equation.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That you got teams saying, wait a minute, use the NL West in general, Arizona and San Diego, they get demolished by the Padres or by the Dodgers and have a run.
So the Lakers have lost 10 in a row to the Nuggets. And last night, when LeBron hit the back-to-back threes in the fourth quarter, the Lakers had a 20-point lead. It gets, whittled down all the way to 2, and I'm thinking, they're doomed. Mm-hmm. Even at 20, I'm like, as weird as it sounds, that's still too close. You've been saying it all morning. The Nuggets hadn't even played well yet. They were going to play well at some point. It's just a matter of whether they found it quickly enough. When they finally started to play good, and you're like, okay, are they gonna get there? They get it to 2. LeBron hits a 3. It's 5. Okay. Nuggets miss. Lakers get the ball back. LeBron hits another 3. It's up to 8. And you're like,
right in Aaron Gordon's face.
I think they survived. I think they took the punch and their knees wobbled
a little bit, but they didn't go down.
And LeBron's going to save them. And then shortly thereafter, that scrum, it gets knocked back out to Porter. Porter hits the shot. It's, uh-oh, we're right back in this game all over again.
Can I go back to one play before that? Remember, that was the play before that, where LeBron steals the ball on Jamal Murray's pass, dunks the ball, and for some reason the Nuggets are like, push it up court. I don't know what Jokic was doing. I don't know if he's trying to draw a foul on D'Angelo Russell. He takes a 3 and airballs it, yep. and Aaron Gordon grabs the ball, and that's the kick out to Michael Porter Jr. It was odd possessions I've ever seen. And when the dust settles, the game is tied because Porter hits a three.
And look, the Nuggets have a better team than the Lakers. They're the defending champions. They're the number two seed. They have the best player in the league. They have a great number two guy. They have a deep supporting cast. They have a really good head coach that's making very good decisions in the moment. And you blow it. You had all of the check marks are on the other side of the ledger, and you had them. You just needed to push them one more time, and you couldn't get it done. And now it's 10 in a row. You're coming back to L.A., I guess, which, you know, gives them a little bit of advantage and everything that comes along with it. But it just felt like if this was going to be a series, that was the game that you had to grab, not just because you needed to split, which obviously you do, but you did the good thing. LeBron was amazing. D'Lo hit six threes in the first half. Anthony Davis was great for three quarters of the game.
Unstoppable for three quarters.
And then all of a sudden, all of the good stuff just vaporized and all of the bad stuff. The Anthony Davis disappears. D'Lo can't make a shot. Darvin Ham doesn't make a single adjustment. They leave two timeouts on the board, even though they're—
And a review.
And a review. It's just everything about it's like, you got to be kidding me. All of that positive momentum over a couple of hours just—
Doesn't that define the Lakers versus the Denver Nuggets? That when the money's on the line, when everything is on the table, one team goes and gets it, and the other team collapses. Because I would tell you, if let's just take away the 10-game losing streak against Denver. There's been a lot of games that the Lakers played the Nuggets. Go back to last playoffs. Go to the regular season games this year. With a few minutes left to go, Denver's always the one that they out-execute. They play perfect at the end. Jokic does something. Murray does something. This, that. Whatever the case is. And I know it might look different because Jamal Murray's making a shot at the buzzer and it was only a two-point game or it was tied when that happened. But the reality is the result of last night is really no different. The only difference is the Lakers had a lead.
It was closer.
And gave it up.
Yeah.
Rather than the game is tied and then Denver ends up with an 8-10-point lead. But what's the difference between if Lakers have an 8-point lead to give it up and lose by two, or it's a tie game and Denver ends up winning by 8 or 10?
It's just more disappointing.
But it's the same conceptually, it's the same.
You're right.
And I think what you just said about if you wanna find all the different things to complain about yesterday.
Everything was last night.
Everything. I want to be mad at Anthony Davis. Perfect. Let me give you the reasons to be angry at him. I want to be mad at Darvin Ham. I don't have enough. I need more pages to be upset at Darvin Ham. I want to be mad at the role players. Austin Reeves, Rui Hachimura. You know, the Lakers in
D'Angelo
the offseason.
D'Angelo disappeared in the second half.
And I want to give D'Lo all the credit. Well, I thought it was interesting yesterday. Reggie Miller kept saying, oh, you know, look what he's doing. He's shutting up the haters on Twitter.
Not yet, he's not.
But here's in my head, I'm like, Reggie, what are you talking about? What haters is he shutting up? He went 1-for-9. All people were angry about is that he took 20 shots and only made 6 of them. I don't think he's shutting up anybody. I think he needs to produce. That's all people are asking for. D'Lo, great in the first half. Second half, was he really there?
AWOL.
Go look at the Lakers bench. Take Torian Prince out of the mix. You and I have the same points as Spencer Dinwiddie. Jackson Hayes, Gabe Vincent, literally they have 0 points in this. So you could complain about so many different things yesterday.
Don't forget the referees.
I mean that part was unbelievable.
It was a terrible call, and it's more
unbelievable. They were complaining about that was taking all the energy in the postgame.
It was there's a flaw in the system. Right, there's a flaw in the system. Just like when you go to review who touched it last and you see that somebody got smacked in the face, but I can't use that to, like, all of that stuff. There's a flaw in the system. Ball was out of his hand. Okay, fine. I understand that by the letter of the law, maybe it was right. It's a bad call. It's a bad call. I agree with you. It's in the third quarter. Oh, you only lost by two. Guys, the only time a call decides a game is if it's literally the last call of a game,
sure.
Or it's the second to last call of the game. There was so much basketball to be played. LeBron make a free throw. Rui make a free throw, right? There were plenty. Anthony Davis.
Take more than one
blanking shot in the fourth quarter. Was it a bad call? Sure. Is that why they lost? Not even a little bit.
Like, I think there's a difference between, like, you know, the Rams Saints, the PI non-call
yes.
is different than if that happened in the first quarter.
And
do you remember?
Was it 2 years ago or a year ago? Lakers at Boston, and Tatum hits Braun going to the basket, a chance to tie.
Yeah.
Remember Braun's crazy reaction? That didn't happen yesterday.
No. Yeah.
That was the last play of the game. LeBron got fouled and they didn't call it. This happened in the third quarter, and we're spending all that energy in the postgame show talking about that play?
Do we have the sound in?
Yeah, we have the sound of this.
I mean, yeah, of course it's a heartbreaking game. You'll never want to lose in that fashion. I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year or whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. Replay center is going to go. It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. Sorry I didn't answer your question, but that shit is like. And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers Nick game too. What are we doing?
I get it. He's frustrated. He's angry. He's disappointed. He feels it slipping away. Like had they won last night, they'd be on cloud nine right now. They'd be ready to go. Hey, we got the game.
And it wouldn't matter how. Just
doesn't matter. We won. Mm-hmm. We have more points than they do. But honestly, for a player of LeBron James's stature, a guy that has done everything that he's done in the league, to lean into that to that degree, if he's just kind of running down, we didn't make enough shots, we missed some free throws, we didn't get performances from everybody that we needed performances.
Everybody's got to be better.
They missed a call.
I hated the review. I still don't understand what that was.
Throw it in the mix with stuff, but I don't know what this league's doing. I just don't see it like that.
Yeah, and listen, I've heard people talk about, you know, sometimes you do this because you're going to try to get some of these calls the other way. Your hope is that by the time Lakers come to crypto, they're going to get those calls. But I don't think, and you talked about this a little bit earlier, if you go look at the free throw disparity in the NBA this season, the Lakers are not getting a lack of calls or lack of free throws.
No one got more by a very healthy margin. It's not like they were number one, and I don't know who number two was, but the Celtics are number two. Was it the Celtics? Okay. The Celtics are number two with eight fewer free throws. It's like a couple hundred. It's not close. So the refs did us dirty. Did they miss a call? Yeah, they did. Missed it. And the review, I guess they actually didn't miss it because they called it in reality and they overturned it, right? So it was just, it's
marginal contact.
It's marginal contact. It defies.
That one's coming a lot lately. Marginal
logic,
contact.
All of those things. But the Lakers did not lose.
Lakers
because
lost
of that.
Because of the Lakers.
Lakers lost because their coach didn't make a single adjustment. Mm-hmm. Anthony Davis was AWOL in the fourth quarter, and LeBron missed an open jumper.
And nobody else showed up in the second half.
And I'm okay with LeBron taking that jumper. The guy fell down in front of him. LeBron James wide open with a chance to win the game.
But
sure.
He missed it.
He missed.
And then Denver took advantage of it and had enough time
Jamal
to go
Murray
on the other side.
Didn't miss. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about Murray because Jokic is going to get another trophy, but I'm not so sure that he's the one that scares me the most. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
All right, breaking news from Pizza Hut. Any medium pizza with any of your favorite toppings right now, just $12. So let me kind of break it down here a little bit further. Any recipe, any toppings, any medium, it doesn't matter. For just $12, this is how you do it. Download the Pizza Hut app right now. Order at pizzahut.com. Take advantage of this great, great offer from Pizza Hut. A couple days over the last month or so, we've had Pizza Hut come in. They bring in, we all know this, no one out pizza's the hut. But what a great offer right now. Just $12. Order now on the Pizza Hut app or at pizzahut.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Murray's got to go. Murray lets it fly. Yeah!
Oh my God!
Ah!
That is such a messed up bit with the French music.
Au revoir en France, mes amis.
Oui, oui. Oh, bonjour.
Dis-moi. Au revoir à Paris, à Lyon, peut-être à Bordeaux. Où vas-tu?
Damn.
Alain. That's your French. You guys know that.
Should answer him in Chaldean.
That's fine.
Gruyere.
Gruyere. Oubli.
Au revoir.
I think I've heard now every call from... Only calls I haven't heard from yesterday's game is the Spanish call.
Or, hey, get on that.
Yeah.
Oh, coming right up. Un petit peu du...
Just what
du
we bris. Need.
Le petit prince. The horse.
It... Look. Jokic is going to win very, very likely his third MVP in, what, the last 4 years?
Yeah.
Is that what it
yeah.
is?
Third and four.
That's pretty good.
Wait, who was it? MB that won last year?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think there's... I mean, Michael tells me every time pregame, he's like, that's such BS that Jokic didn't win last year. I'm like, damn. So well, basically what you're saying is just
should have been four
pop
straight.
That thing over to
it's,
him every year.
It's like one of the, it's like the Bonds or the Jordan. Like,
yeah, leave it at his
just,
house.
We're just going to give it to somebody else just because we need to give
Shaq.
It to somebody else.
Shaq
yeah,
got one.
Yeah, there,
Cole
there's,
got one.
There's, but Bonds, I think, has four or five. Jordan has five, I believe. And it's just... It's not that they only got one. It's, well, we've given it to them 3 years in a row. We got to give it. Okay, we'll circle
else.
Back to you eventually.
Let's share. Right.
That's kind of where we are with Jokic. And I get it. He's the best player on the team. He's the best player in the world. Murray is just as scary to me because what he did last night is what truly great clutch players do. He had a bad night.
Yeah, it was awful.
He had a bad
I think
night.
3 of 14 going into the
yeah,
fourth, something
and,
like that.
But when it was time to go, he was ready to go, and he kept firing. He didn't get scared, and you mentioned it earlier. Al, his teammates are like, dude, don't find me. Do you. Go get your shots. But
that's
got
to help a lot, by the way. Just your entire squad saying, stop trying to throw. You're the guy. You're the man in a spot like this.
Freddie Freeman could strike out 4 times in a row. If I need a hit in the big spot,
Freeman, right.
I'll take number 5. I just give me
that's
him.
Great. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
I thought it's hard to say that the shot he made to win the game wasn't the toughest shot because you're going against an extended AD, but the bucket he made before that,
oh, crazy.
I was like, whoa,
yes.
What are you doing, buddy?
He's going back and forth. Shot clock is running
it.
Out. Braun
yes.
is guarding him. And by the way, you're down 2 in that situation.
Uh-huh.
The shot to win it.
It's tie game.
Worst case scenario, you're going to OT.
The previous shot was the shot That's where I point. Thought, oh, man, this dude is ice water in his veins. And I remember in that series, kind of a mirrored situation in the bubble, I thought to myself, Jamal Murray is the meanest man on this team.
Yeah, I think
you
so
know what
too.
I'm saying? And like,
so
and it's a perfect compliment to the Joker's style of distributor,
yep.
not exactly a big force. Murray's the one that's going to punch you in the junk, and you're going to hate
it. No,
here's
Murray's
how you
a killer.
Know.
Murray's
here's
a
how
killer.
You know. The guy that's won 3 out of 4 MVPs didn't take the last shot, and everybody's cool.
No.
Yeah,
not,
like,
non-problem.
Go ahead.
You saw his
non-problem.
Reaction.
Non-problem. They got a system.
Go ahead.
And it works.
Yeah.
Oh,
go man. Ahead and do that. And look, we'll see what happens on Thursday night. Maybe the Lakers grab one. But it feels beating this team 4 out of 5, never say never, but it's never going to happen. And they had their shot. It mm-hmm. wasn't a great shot, but they had it. They were this close to it. It slips through their fingers, and not because of one thing, but because of all the things that we were at. The bench was bad. The coach was bad. Your second best player disappeared at the most important. If like if just Darvin had another game where you're like, what the heck is that guy doing? All right, you change the coach. If Anthony Davis had just disappeared, but everything is like, man, okay, maybe he's not our guy. If LeBron was just out of gas, you're like, okay, maybe he's just – it was the bench every little wart that we find on this team was evident, I should say, over the last 8 minutes of the fourth quarter. It was just deeply, deeply demoralizing to watch.
Here's what's not helpful, and I know this isn't going to help with any Laker fan out there. Denver really didn't play good yesterday. They
wow.
didn't. Do you know they shot?
Not until the fourth, yeah.
They shot 23% from 3. Lakers actually outshot them from the three-point line. Lakers shot better field goal percentage than the Denver Nuggets. I told this to you, and I know, Clint, you're watching the game.
Sure.
It's not even like it was this, oh, my gosh, look at this barrage by the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets weren't even playing well in their comeback. The comeback was taking so long because it had more to do with the Lakers just not scoring, not executing, not knowing what they were doing. We read a quote from Anthony Davis postgame,
mm-hmm.
and you probably have it off the top of your head there.
There are times where we don't know what we're doing at
on
either end
sides
of the court.
Of the floor.
Right, and that to me is where this all
Jesus.
Becomes a bigger issue. We have a loss of institutional control here on a lot of levels, and I'll tell you what. You know what I knew that game changed? when KCP banged on somebody. And I was like, okay. I said, here it is again.
You're not wrong. There are small plays like that that could change.
Those are the plays where you talk about all the ugly warts that show themselves. How about the inability to keep the guys that are actually good and winning
moments?
Was
that the same play where LeBron turns around and had his arms out at the side? Like, where was everybody?
It was the play before that, I think. But
I think Braun was still on the other end.
Yeah, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it was, but my point is that, like, everything that you thought about the Lakers franchise as to what are we not doing correctly as a franchise was obvious in that one game. And that's what made that so much harder is that, again, rewind to the bubble. The person who hit that shot was AD. The team that went on to win the championship was the Nuggets. Now you're in the reverse sort of situation where you think – there are no answers. No answers for everything the Nuggets
have
to provide, from
one
coaching
problem
to bench.
There's multiple problems. Yeah. And that, like, if it were, hey, we need a better second guy. Okay. Who's out there? Who do you go get? Hey, we need a better best guy. Okay. We need a different coach. Okay. We need to change the supporting cast. Okay. It's all of it.
I got to say, though, Travon, I want to get you guys' thoughts on this real quick. I was very surprised. Excuse me. By the post-game demeanor of AD and LeBron. Double walk-offs?
Me too.
I'm like, I'm sorry, guys. Again.
And both blame the officials.
When you guys were good, it's because you kept your composure and accountability was a little different in terms of how it went. And for those two guys to leave, I was like, whoa. And not that it was about the specific arguments. Not that it was even about it being inappropriate. That's not what I'm saying. It's just from a composure standpoint, I was genuinely surprised to see them both be like, yeah, we're out of here. We're not doing this anymore. And that to me was as big of a signal of a problem as anything having to do with rebounding or, you know, buckets made.
So here's Anthony Davis's very brief press conference last night.
Can you take us through that last play, just what happened and what unfolded? What was, I don't know if you were screened or what happened on that last play.
Jamal Murray made a shot.
Ooh. Mic drop, literally.
Ooh. Man, sound engineer doing a lot of work there. You hear that ringing out across the press room? Right
also,
there?
Poor microphone. Those things are expensive.
Do you think, Clint, this has more to do with that's 10 in a row now against
that's
Denver.
A season of frustration. That's two seasons of frustration.
That's 0-2 when we had a chance to make this a series. Look, you don't know how many shots you're going to get here to win a game or steal a game against the Denver Nuggets. And if you had a shot and you missed it, the chances of you making that up is going to be very, very difficult. How much do you think that is just every time we feel like we might have an answer, we still don't have an answer against these guys?
I think also AD was personally a little bit offended that he's not changing shots. He doesn't change as many shots as, let's just say, a Rudy Gobert once did. And I don't mean block. I mean change.
Alter.
There was no world in which Murray wasn't taking that shot. He didn't look to anybody else.
I'll be honest, though, Clinton. I did not hate the way that Anthony Davis defended that.
That's
I thought he did a pretty good job on that. The guy made
either.
A shot in his face.
AD should be personally offended for taking one shot in the fourth quarter.
But
that's what
I'm saying. All of it
by.
Added up to him just not wanting to be there. And I thought to myself, like, man, they've lost something in terms of their edge as to why you're competing at this level at this time of the season.
Part of it could just be and Oral called a few minutes ago, and I thought Slee asked him a really good question about, hey, sometimes when somebody just beats you over and over and over and over again, how do you convince yourself that this is going to be different?
Right.
And he talked about, well, in 88, the Mets beat us 11 out of 12 times in the regular season. But this started, but you need the one. You need the thing
need the
to
one.
Kind of go, LeBron makes that shot, or Murray's shot rims out, and the Lakers win in overtime,
right.
or whatever it is. Now you can say, listen, they made us nine, but we –
But it's 1-1.
We escaped.
In a seven-game set.
One.
Yeah.
Last night for AD, for LeBron, for D'Lo's mood at the press conference afterwards was morose as well.
Yeah.
And it was just, what do you want us to do with these guys? We had them by 20 in the third quarter, and we still lost. And that's when you start to bitch about referees, and you start to – you have short press conference, you drop in F-bombs. And so I get it. You're frustrated, but your frustration is misdirected.
And it's also based in reality. And the reality is that the Nuggets are a better team right now than the Lakers are. And there's no – you know, that's not a dunk on anybody. That's not a diss. It just is what
it is.
They're
defending champs.
Yeah, there's a talent factor there, and there's an organization factor there. Michael Malone, as far as I'm concerned – best coach in the league.
He's
chess versus checkers right
he's
now.
He's better than Darvin Ham. I feel comfortable saying
Senor
that.
Senor Hamon, would you like some more croque monsieur à Paris?
Oh, croque monsieur is delicious. Yes,
c'est bon
who doesn't?
C'est bon là.
Who does not?
Petit croissant?
Well, yeah.
Did you happen to hear Oral Hershiser tell me that we're friends?
No, but
would
you
like
me,
to?
I would love to.
Jorge,
Travis.
Would you mind getting that ready?
Travis goes deep.
but I love listening to you guys in the morning. So I just wanted to call in, give you somebody so somebody can hate on you a
excellent.
Little bit for me calling, and we're friends.
I can hear the smile on your face when you said excellent.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He wasn't done.
That was fantastic.
Oral wasn't done talking. He's like, excellent.
He's pretty excited. Then he told me he's, he invited me to a game to meet Fernando.
9-year-old Trav has to be geeking right now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a huge deal.
I mean, 80-year-old Trav is geeking.
See?
Yes! Emily nailing the alley-oop!
Why you gotta be like that?
Perfectly played!
Look, you can do whatever you'd like. You're not making me in a bad mood today.
I know.
Today, for a variety of reasons, today has been a really good day. Rabbit hole. I got to stick around.
All right.
It's coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Nothing can go wrong. We have a rabbit hole today. A rabbit hole is basically whatever has been occupying our minds in terms of the internet space, what we spend way too many hours looking up and wasting all of our time. So, Al, why don't you start us off?
So, last week when the news went down on Michael Porter Jr.'s brother, by the way, he had two brothers, that one with the gambling scandal, the other one that was in a DUI accident that will be serving time as well. I kind of went down a rabbit hole of that world, but
Porter family?
Yeah. It got me actually back to Michael Porter Jr., who has a podcast. And, you know, this is YouTube. If you're going to search
he's in
that,
the NBA, so he has a podcast.
You're right about that. If you're searching this, then YouTube's going to feed something. I didn't know his full story about why the Nuggets drafted him. Did you ever hear anything about
this? I
know
this? He had back problems.
He had back problems.
Yeah.
And it's kind of just interesting to hear his story that the Denver Nuggets thought he was going to get picked earlier. He ends up dropping to 14. They grab him, let him do surgery for a full year. And he talked about how like tough that moment was for him. But he got selected by the perfect team that didn't need him right away. That Michael Malone was also like, you do you. We're not going to get a talent like this. At this stage of the draft, he should have been a top five, but he was healthy, whatever. I fell into a little rabbit hole, interesting enough, based on his brothers, but I got into his podcast. It was kind of
he lost three full seasons to that injury, right? Am I wrong on that? It was at least two.
Counting college?
I think that's what it is.
I think it was counting college.
He went to Missouri, or Iowa.
That it was... The talent was never in question, but the health, it wasn't just there's red flags coming everywhere.
I guess the Bulls had two picks in the top 14, 12, whatever it was. He had a back spasm, and everybody like, oh my gosh, like they thought it was something more serious. So then it was,
shut down the workouts, et cetera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Trav?
So mine, big surprise, is baseball related.
What?
This is not where it's going to end, but this is where it started. It started because of OJ. Because OJ was in the news last week.
It all starts with OJ, right?
Everything.
Frequently, it does.
Top Gun and OJ.
We were talking about his being an actor and being Detective Nordberg in the Naked Gun movies. And a buddy of mine, what up, G-Fish, we started talking about the baseball scene that is the conclusion of the Naked Gun. And it's just bizarre because it's the Mariners playing the Angels at Dodger Stadium. It's clearly Dodger Stadium. There's even a shot that they did in Wrigley Field that is clearly, if you know baseball,
totally out of place.
That was in Wrigley Field. There's a real umpire. Joe West is in it, but Leslie Nielsen is the star. It's all of these bizarre things. They wanted the Dodgers. The Dodgers didn't want to participate because there was a fight scene and they didn't want to be associated with it. Baseball kind of twisted the producer's arms to put the Mariners in because that franchise was teetering on the brink. Yeah. So there's all these different little elements to how this thing went. And the producers of the movie, they just wanted to make this goofy, stupid thing where Reggie's going to try to shoot the queen. And all of the different baseball hoops that they had to jump through to do it. I found an article. I'll post it. I'll put it on. It's old. It's like 6 years old, but it's a tremendous, goofy baseball read.
I think it makes it even better. Like, if it's going to be a goofy movie, yeah, to have it not be correct
it
in the
was
background.
Like a fever dream.
Yeah.
Like, it just, like, the umpires have a runner in a rundown. It's he's vacuuming the home plate with an actual little dust buster. It's just absurd. It's terrific.
All right, Yates, do you have a rabbit hole?
I do. If you ever ask Reggie about that in person, he will go on for hours about how much fun it was to make that movie. It's
so,
a really interesting conversation.
Do you know him?
I do.
Okay. I don't know him well, but I've had more than one interaction with him.
Yeah.
They've all gone poorly.
Right. Well, see, this is what I was going to say. If you want to get on Reggie's good side, which is what I was getting
well,
at.
Well, I didn't know that good morning Reggie was a way to get on the bad side, but that's my fault. Somebody should have tipped me off to that.
You probably smell the fact that you were a pitcher. You know?
And so, but I'm reading this and I'm waiting for, where's the part where everybody hates Reggie's guts? They loved him. They loved Reggie in this thing. It was awesome.
Okay, so the rabbit hole I've been going down recently, this is totally obscure and totally weird, but if you're into cars, you'll understand. There is some guy in Mobile, Alabama, who is like 25 years old, but he drives a Durant. If you know what a Durant is, it's like a pre-Model T car. Mm. And this dude lives his entire life existing like he's in the 20s. His name is Dr. Parkenstein on TikTok. And he like rebuilds Victrolas, drives a Durant that he fixes himself.
Wow.
Because he's a mechanic as well.
He's Jay Gatsby.
Dresses from the era. Exactly. Dresses from the era, does the dances, listens to the music. He's got music on tubes, pre-vinyl.
Wow.
This guy is living in a completely different decade. I've been watching this guy live his life for the last 3 weeks, nonstop.
Crazy amount of views.
Does he?
Not today, Em. Today, I'm good. Sorry. Oral Hershiser called me his friend. We're all
but no,
good.
Yeah. So this guy, for whatever reason, I've been watching the way this guy lives his life. It's really fascinating. Anyway.
All right, Jorge, what's your rabbit hole?
Well, I want to start by saying thank you. So yesterday, Pepe Mantilla, he gave me a soccer ball as a gift, and it's one of those retro like leather hexagon shapes, or you know, whatever octagon shape.
Surprised he didn't give that to Travis.
No,
Travis
hold on.
Loves
so it's like it's a really, really, really cool ball. It's heavy. It's really hard when I inflated it yesterday. So it got me going. Like I have maybe 6 or 10 different like official match soccer balls. I got the Brazil. I got an MLS. Like the expensive with the $200 ball. So I started doing my homework on this one, and this is a 1994 Mitre soccer ball from you know the 90s retro ball. So then that led me to this guy who makes soccer balls out of old, like, soccer shoes, like leather soccer shoes.
Oh, that's cool.
That is cool.
So he starts cutting, like, the different parts of the leather. He starts, I showed Cody and Parker last week. But this guy's cutting different shapes.
Wow.
And then he, like, glues them, stitches them, hand glued, and then he puts the inner tube or whatever you want to call it.
Bladder.
The bladder.
So then
exactly.
He inflates it, and it's a solid, you know,
that's
good,
cool,
pretty cool soccer. Huh. So it just got me going, and
that's
and
the perfect definition of a rabbit hole.
Yeah. That's good.
You get something, and then you
yeah.
end up there.
Just by looking it up and how old that soccer ball was, I found a barcode. There's a barcode on it, so I just went down deep into
cool.
barcode
that's
searching,
fun,
and
yeah.
and it gave me the specific information of that ball.
Do you have a Jabulani from the 2010 World Cup?
Yes, I do.
I remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that was a controversial ball. Yeah. Supposedly bounced too much.
Is that the one that's like the circles, like the not like the long oblong circles?
No, that's the Germany 2006 ball.
That's what I'm thinking about. Yeah, I remember that. I had that ball.
Oh, come on. What other ball?
Look at the recall. Love that.
I think we just found your baseball cards. Right. Oh, that no, it's this one.
Fever Nova 2006. I mean 2002 Japan.
Yeah.
Korea. Yeah.
You
love
talked
it.
To me about like some of your like how much money you spent on soccer balls. I'm like, that's a lot of money on soccer balls.
But
and
I usually wait for the sales.
No judgment here.
Yeah.
I'm all in. What do you got?
So my rabbit hole. Just a little background on myself. Like, so I grew up in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and a lot of people in my area were Catholic. I did not have a lot of people that I knew that were Jewish. And so I know that it's Passover now, and it's interesting to me. I got on this TikTok, and it jogged something in my memory. of the Rugrats Passover episode. Okay? So this episode premiered in 1994. I was a huge fan of the Rugrats. My sisters and I watched Rugrats all the time. Okay? But, you know, as a little girl grows up in Fredericksburg, I don't really know, again, a lot of Jewish people. And I learned about Passover from the Rugrats, okay? So this was one, the highest rated episode on Nickelodeon. Really? Until a couple years later when they had a Thanksgiving episode. But it was one of the highest rated episodes. It was nominated for several Emmys. It won some awards. It was kind of, they had this idea. They wanted to do a Hanukkah episode, but then they were like, we need to do a Jewish holiday that is more meaningful to Jewish people, not just Hanukkah, because it's, you know, similar to what people know. And it's just really interesting to me going back. They took like twice as long to record this one. They took deep care for making the Passover story accessible to children, so they could get to people could get to know it. And it's more about freedom and less about, you know, oppression. And I thought it was really cool, the care they took into this episode for kids, how it still sticks with me. And again, like, that's why I love movies and TV shows. It sometimes gives you the experience of things you don't have yourself. And so for me to be able to see that, but it's just kind of, I was going back and watching some clips from the episode, and it's just like, it's really, really cool for me that they did that and made an impression, and it had, what, a 3.1 Nielsen rating.
That's insane. Those things that imprint on you when you're a kid, like, you have no idea what it's going to be until you're 30 or 27, and you're like, why do I remember a cartoon from 15 years ago?
Yeah.
You don't know, as it's happening, you have no idea it's happening until it's like, yeah, I still remember that.
It's true. And there's things like that, like, again, help kids know more about their own world and more about empathy about people outside of your own people around you. And so I thought that was great. And do you say happy Passover? Like, I don't know how you say it, but Passover is going on right now. So
happy Passover
to all our Jewish friends out there listening. Happy Passover.
The Dump is coming up next. A little super cross talk as well. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. You too.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So happy birthday to William Shakespeare. It's his birthday today.
Good job, Bill.
Happy birthday, buddy, if you're listening.
Yeah, your buddy, Trav Shakespeare.
So, it's a good hang.
you loved him. You gave him some of the iconic phrases. But here are, I know I've done this before, but here are some things that, like, Shakespeare invented, which, again, like, if you knew back when you were a kid, you might have known and been more interested into Shakespeare. So he invented the phrase, "We've seen better days." And that was as you like it. Too much of a good thing. First known usage was in Shakespeare. Neither rhyme nor reason. Own flesh and blood.
I like that one.
Yeah.
That had to be Romeo and Juliet. No?
Own flesh and blood is from Hamlet, actually, which makes sense.
Macbeth.
Yes. All that glitters is gold is from The Merchant of Venice.
That's actually one of the few Shakespeare plays that I liked.
Okay.
Was The Merchant of Venice.
I really like Hamlet. And I also, one thing too that about Shakespeare is there are so many quote unquote modern remakes of it that you don't even know are like remakes of it. It's like 10 Things I Hate About You, Taming of the Shrew, things like that. I think that is really cool. And again, I know that not everyone likes to read Shakespeare, but, you know, almost everything ties back to him.
Interesting.
I wish there would have been more creative English teachers in my life. And this is not to throw shade at the ones I had, because I had a couple of good ones. But to your point, take a modern adaptation that you don't even know is Shakespeare. Watch this / read this. Now here's the origin work. And now we're going to talk about how they're different, how they're the same, why this is better, why that one's better. as opposed to, yeah, I just read that sentence 46 times and I don't know what it means.
My English teacher,
like
who
the Bible.
Actually passed away last year, so no rest in peace. Happened. But she had us all act out the Odyssey. So we would like do like skits from the Odyssey, but we would try to translate them into like our language. But it did help us learn.
Yeah.
It helped us get these things, and I really liked it.
The Odyssey is indecipherable.
And you know what? Who got the quote unquote award from her back when he was at my high school? Danny McBride.
I was gonna say Kenny Powers.
Yeah.
I know the Odyssey just because The Simpsons did one on it. That's how I was finally like, oh, that's what it means.
So everything got goes it. Back to Shakespeare or The Simpsons?
One or the other.
Slaps.
team president, head coach, and general manager for the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, Mark Donovan, and Brett Veach have all been extended. Terms of the deal have not been announced, but yeah, when you win three
pretty
of the last five Super
there.
Bowls, yeah, I'd like to come back, and we'd love to have you. That's a pretty easy one.
Yeah, that's always – it's always – every time you see front offices where it's like a head-scratcher, like, what did that person do to get an extension, this, that – I'm sure this one was – guys, we're just going to walk into the office and we're just going to hope that the paperwork's just sitting there for us. And I don't think any ownership had any issue with that.
It's funny. When we were talking about it this morning, I asked Emily, how old is Andy Reid? And you said 66, right, Em?
Yeah.
And she's like, we talked about this the other day and you reminded everybody that Andy Reid is only 6 years older than Brad Pitt. And that's a testament to Brad Pitt, I think, more than anything else. I think George Clooney's 61, by the way.
Is he really?
But yeah, just we'll put that aside. Andy Reid's not an old man. Like, he could coach another 10 years really easily. Patrick Mahomes has at least another 10 years in him.
He's 6 years younger than Belichick.
Yeah, and say, far even, more even, lively.
Even 5 years, the damage that they've already done and that they could potentially do moving forward as well.
So we talked, obviously, a lot about the Lakers and the Nuggets last night. That was the second part of just a wild back-to-back games. The Knicks and Philly. Here's Mike Breen with Dante DiVincenzo knocking down that three.
Won't go! Hartenstein, the rebound! Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead with 13 seconds remaining!
Yeah, Ireland just walked in. You called it. You know that Mike Breen's feeling it when he double bangs
he
a big shot.
Bang very often. No, that was a double bang.
It's
worthy
a special,
of it, too.
Yeah.
Special
game. Both of them. I know, obviously, yeah. The Laker game ends with incredible disappointment.
Yeah, but if you're like a generic NBA fan, does it get any better than those two in the same night?
Yates was just talking about that. It's a perfect example.
I used this to describe the Laker game last night. John, tell me if this is accurate or just – it was an exciting catastrophe.
Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah.
It was – I was – when I was flying home last night, Bill McDonald, the Laker TV play-by-play guy, and I started in the same year. We started in 2011, and we both decided that's the most heartbreaking loss we've ever called.
Really?
Yeah, ever. And now I know how the other teams feel. You know, like when Derek Fisher hit that 0.4 shot, which, by the way – was the last time the Lakers came back from an 0-2 deficit to win a series.
Oh, is it really?
They went down 0-2 in San Antonio, got waxed in both games, then won the two games in L.A. barely, and game five was Derek Fisher's 0.4, and San Antonio had nothing left in game six. So they lost two, then won four in a row. I don't think that's going to happen against this Denver team. They're too good.
I was just going to ask, what were the seedings of the Spurs and the Lakers that year? Do you remember by chance?
Well, the Spurs were higher.
Okay.
They were coming off the title in 0-3.
Okay.
So they had home court, but I don't remember if it was
what
1-2.
Game was,
or,
what game was AD's three against Denver?
Game two.
And
to them. So they just returned the favor to us last night. Yeah, because Jamal Murray, of all people, had hit a shot to put Denver ahead in the bubble in game two. And then AD, with less than a second left, I think, threw up a three.
I get that Jokic is the best player on that team.
Yeah.
I get that Jokic is the best player in the league.
Yeah.
I get it. Jamal Murray scares me a little bit more because he had a bad night last night, John, until he didn't have a bad
night.
Until
he scored 14 points in the fourth quarter.
Exactly right.
They are the best fourth quarter team I've ever seen. They remind me of the 2017-2018 Warriors with Durant and Clay and those. You could get that team down by 25.
Doesn't matter.
And you never felt like they were going to lose. And you could tell last night, even in that building, the Nugget fans were all just waiting for them to make their run. And sure enough, they had just enough time.
Your point on Jamal Murray
John, you know, you watch as many NBA games as anybody. There's certain guys in the league where he was 3 of 14, I think, going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Robert Horry kept saying this, or Worthy kept mentioning it postgame on Spectrum, that once Jamal Murray got that layup, kind of like a nice, beautiful
get
to the basket, tough.
Right.
And I guess
corkscrew layup.
And Horry said right there, that might unlock him, because all a player like that needs is, if he sees the ball go through the hoop one or two times, all of a sudden those jumpers now become a lot easier.
Right, and he's just a great clutch player. And, you know, if you look at the 10 losses, they've beaten the Lakers 10 times in a row now. Most of those include a fourth-quarter comeback by the Nuggets. Yeah.
Well, the games last night's kind of the exception of the rule, because the Lakers had a big lead.
Right.
Neither one of the teams have had a big lead going into the fourth quarter. They've all been 8, 10, 12, 6. Nobody's kind of run away from the other until yesterday. And
what were the
lost.
Lakers up 11 going to the fourth?
10. Okay. But 20 in the third quarter.
Do you right. remember last year, John, game two in Denver, Lakers kind of controlled the game for the most part, and that's the game Jamal Murray went off for 23 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he's a great player. That's a really tough place to win. Although, all right, I'm sure you guys have been talking about all the negative aspects of that loss. If you want to look at the other side of it, the Lakers know they can play with these guys now. They had them twice. They had them down 13 in game one, and they had them down 20 in game two. The problem is they don't know how to finish. If they can figure that out.
That is very optimistic.
If they
could
figure
accurate.
That out, they could make a series of it. But I don't know if they can.
The other side of that coin is they were up 20, they were up 13, they've lost 10 in a row.
Right.
That's the flip.
Well, but here's the thing. Nobody now is picking the Lakers.
Yeah.
You can't find anybody. And sometimes when it's us against the world, like literally no one is picking you, you play like you got nothing to lose. And everybody's talking about how they have to win 4 out of 5.
They got to win Thursday.
They got to win one
Thursday.
Game.
Right. They got to win Thursday.
They got to win Thursday.
I agree. Win one game.
Win
and
Thursday,
then worry about Saturday.
Worry about Saturday.
Yeah, amen.
You may get this. A moment in Laker history that happened today in 1989. April 23rd, 1989. That was historic, might be noteworthy, I guess is the way to describe it. 1989.
Was it the Sleepy Floyd game?
No.
Okay.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's final game.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, did your Worthy say Jokic is a combination between both Magic and Kareem? I've never heard James say that.
I mean, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
But he's right. That might be the greatest compliment I've ever heard anybody say anything about an NBA player. You are both of these players.
Well, that's like Shohei being Randy Johnson and Barry Bonds.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jokic is... for me, already he's a top 10 player all time.
Really?
All time. I mean, he's that good. You realize that if he wins this MVP, which supposedly he's going to win in a landslide, they're going to announce it next week, that the only other people that would have 3 MVPs in 4 years, including a finals MVP, the list is insane. It's like Kareem,
Jordan.
LeBron, Jordan, Wilt, and Jokic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just... He's a freak, that guy.
Well, so let's do this. Let's do a little super crosstalk. Bonk. Mace is here as well. Woo woo.
Woo woo.
You were talking about the fact that he's
bonjour,
won. Bonjour. 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 Yes. 3 out of the last 4, or he's going to win his third MVP in
right.
the last 4 years. He's got a
yeah,
finals
a lot of people
MVP.
Thought he should have won last year, too.
Right. Four in a row. Has anybody done 4 in a row?
Did LeBron? LeBron
I
has
think Bill
4.
Russell did.
Bill Russell did. Okay.
Did Jordan? I don't know. We'd have to look it up.
Here's the thing you're talking about, John, looking, they were close, silver linings, all that. Jokic and Murray aren't even 30.
Right.
And
there's Michael Porter.
That's what I mean. Like this is not the, hey, all right, we're getting near the end. This is not the Warriors. This is them ascending still.
Right.
And they're going to very likely be in their second consecutive finals. They might win 2 finals in a row. They've got those 2 guys. They've got a supporting cast. It makes a ton of sense. They've
got a
head
good coach.
That the path isn't, okay, how do you get better? It's how do you get past those guys? If you're the Lakers and you compete for championships, my goodness.
Tackling that page. Mace, did you watch Get Up this morning?
I did.
Okay, so Mike Greenberg said something that I shockingly agree with.
Okay.
He thinks that if the Lakers would have played the exact same way, in games 1 and game 2, they would have beat every other team in the West except Denver.
I actually agree with that. This was the matchup.
And to your,
you could not
to
have.
Your credit, Mace,
yeah.
You actually said it before
yeah.
this all happened.
I had picked him to beat OKC.
Well, you were saying lay down against New Orleans, go and play Sacramento.
And now he doesn't look as big of an idiot,
right.
does he?
He does not.
No.
By the way, and I was saying, when they get swept or lose in five, let's revisit this conversation.
Here's the problem.
We can revisit it now. Yeah. I mean, I still wouldn't have done it, Trav. Would you?
No.
Here's the problem with saying.
Now I think you can no longer say, as Darvin did, that people like Mason are in an insane asylum.
No, you're not being institutionalized.
That's a reach.
Thank you. Here's the problem with saying that they'd have beat any other team out there in the Western Conference. I don't know what Darvin Ham did for the entire second half.
I don't either.
I don't know what Anthony Davis did for the entire fourth quarter. They have 17 points total of their entire bench in two games, and Torian Prince has all those points. So I get it that, well, if it just wasn't the Denver Nuggets, I actually don't believe that.
You don't believe?
I don't believe they could be up 2-0 against any other team in the Western
against
Conference.
Against any other team.
As long as it's not the Denver Nuggets.
Who would be up 2-0 against them?
Whether it's 1-1, 2-0, Minnesota's a problem.
There's a big difference between those two things.
Big Minnesota's difference. A problem. Yeah. I think Minnesota's a tough matchup. The Clippers is a question mark just because of Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
Dallas had been a problem. I know they lost their
Dallas
first game, but that's a good team.
Good
is that tonight? Is game two tonight?
Yes.
Yeah.
I just think that, listen, do I feel like the series should be tied one apiece? I do. But how do you blow a 20-point lead that's this slow drip and you could be that bad for an entire second half? I have a very difficult time of trying to take anything optimistically away from that game yesterday.
Okay, well, wait a minute. Let me come back at you on something. How do you blow a 20-point lead? You don't give the Nuggets any credit for that? The Lakers blew it? The Lakers lost it. The Nuggets didn't win it?
The Nuggets couldn't hit a shot.
Right.
And they were
still. So what did they do?
But, in fairness, they made 8 of their last 9 baskets.
They ran everything through Jokic and made the Lakers make a decision. They said, all right. You can't guard him with Anthony Davis because he had 5 fouls.
I don't know if you were probably on the plane. John Barkley was going in on that. Like, you can't double Jokic there because what it did is it let Murray just absolutely go work on you.
Michael had an idea early in the game. Michael said, here's what you should do. And looking back, I wish they would have done this.
Keep AD on Jokic.
Right, but let Jokic score 60.
I agree.
Right. So this is the way Miami beat them last year in the finals that one game.
Yeah, don't let him have help the dimes, on Jokic. The assist. If he comes down and scores 20 straight baskets, let him.
Yep.
But don't let anybody else
get
going.
Stop everybody else.
And when Murray got going in the fourth quarter, Trav, like you were talking about, 14 fourth quarter points and then lights out.
Why not stop everybody else? Even when you're all over Jokic, he's still going to do damage.
Credit to the Denver Nuggets. I don't think I'm not giving credit to the Denver Nuggets.
You're not?
I don't think I'm not.
Does that mean you are or you're not? If you're not.
Not is a positive.
Right, however,
just answer this. What was more the case?
Math.
Did the Nuggets win it or did the Lakers lose it?
I thought the Lakers lost it.
I thought the Nuggets won it.
I did too.
Yeah.
Anthony
I think
Davis
the Nuggets
took
are
one freaking
so
shot in the fourth quarter. But Darvin Ham did nothing
half. They went 8 minutes scoreless without a basket from about late in the third to
7-7
mid-4.
Is what
I don't
saying.
Know what the
seven
Lakers
minutes?
Did for the entire second half, and it's not taking credit away from Denver. It's I don't know what the Lakers did for the entire second half.
Come back to this, though. The whole point of that, you're talking about what Greenberg said. They play anybody else, they're up 2-0. Okay, fine.
Or at least 1-1, yeah.
I understand that for entertainment purposes, I understand for the business of what we all do, it's much better for them to stay in as long as possible.
Correct.
I get that.
Right.
But isn't the end result ultimately the same?
Yeah, which is why I had no problem with them winning that game in New Orleans.
In fairness, you never know. A lot of people said get Denver early. You never know. Turned ankle, injury.
Sure. But that
you
cuts
never
the same
know what's
going to
happen
Lakers.
By the time you
cuts
get to the
same way with the Lakers.
It does, but you've got you have a better shot with them. After they're worn down a little bit, and maybe somebody gets dinged up, all that kind of stuff.
I don't know if anybody.
This is
that
a
the
healthy,
Lakers
rested
playing,
Denver team.
The Lakers' best guy is very old and played a million minutes of basketball. The longer it goes, I don't think the better he's going to get. He's still LeBron, and he missed a wide open shot last night. He just missed.
After he had made the two previous ones.
I don't have a problem with the decision.
No
he missed. It happens.
And by the way, you have to take
of
that shot.
Of course you do.
KCP was on the
best shot you're going to get.
He missed, and I understand that, but I'm really curious what he's going to look like on Thursday. How many minutes did he play last night, John? It had to be 40-something, right?
Yeah, I think he ended up at like between 42 and 43.
Although, okay, so, in fairness, he did not look tired at the end of the game.
I thought everybody on the court looked tired last night.
I don't think LeBron made those two threes, and I was like, oh, that was he's not tired.
It's funny you say that, Mace. That was the one point of the game. Even when they're up 20 in the third quarter, I'm like, there's still so much time.
Yeah.
Murray's going to get going. They're going to make some shots. It was just, will the clock expire before he can get
right? We only played 38.
38. Okay, yeah. Well, that helps a little.
By the way, 20 points in the NBA now is nothing.
It's nothing.
Mm-hmm. It's nothing.
So it's getting closer. It's getting closer. They get it down to two.
Mm-hmm.
And then when LeBron hit the back-to-back threes, that was the one I'm like, I think they're going to survive. Because we've seen it so many times where they're coming, and they can't quite get over the top. And then
LeBron had that look like, I'm not letting us lose.
Look like he saved them.
He got the dunk. Like, all of these things, you're like, okay, they're going to survive. And then that weird play where Gordon saved it, throws it to Porter. Yeah, Porter hits down the three.
That might be the play of the game.
Backbreaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had some bad turnovers. But I'll say it again. There isn't anybody outside of that locker room that doesn't think this series is over. And the attitude when they were coming home last night was, we can play with these guys.
What did you guys think?
D'Angelo, by the way, said, we're coming back and going to win the series.
I hope he's right.
Yeah, me too.
But I mean, I don't know if they're going to win the series, but I'll say it again. They need to worry about one game Thursday. And
you're
if
right
they win
that.
Thursday, then you worry about one game on Saturday. Yeah. And if you can get – these are big ifs, I know. If you can get it to 2-2, then it's a crapshoot.
What did you guys make of Darvin Ham, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, among others,
and D'Angelo Russell
complaining about the officials the way
not the reason they lost.
They didn't lose because of officiating, but that call on D'Angelo that they
call.
Reviewed in
it's a bad call, but it's in the third quarter. Look, I get it, and it's a bad look because he clearly gets smacked in the head.
Right.
All of these things. Of all the things the Lakers do not have access to, it's the officials are lobbying against us. They're working against us. The Lakers shot more free throws than any team in the NBA
right.
by a wide margin. The Lakers have been on the right side of officiating decisions far more often than they've been on the wrong side. It was a bad call, but
right.
they all leaned into it as hard
okay,
as they did.
But here's
I didn't
the
like
thing,
that.
So it happened also in the Knicks-Philly game. There was also a mm-hmm. call that went to replay and went to New York, and they
loves
reviewed
the
it, came back with the wrong call.
Yeah.
They came back with the wrong... Seriously, if you're not going to get it right, why are you going to have somebody review it?
And by the way, I've been arguing this. Michael's doing it too for 3 years. They had the number one ranked referee in the NBA was the lead official in Denver last night, Scott Foster. With Scott Foster as the lead official, they stopped the game. They reviewed the D'Angelo Russell play for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody saw D'Angelo Russell get hit in the face. And then they overturn it. The foul was already called. They had to make an act of commission to get the thing reversed. And now, why did we stop the game for 5 minutes? Yeah. I'll keep beating this drum. I know I'm never going to win this battle, but I don't care.
Kills everything.
I don't know, by the way, that you're not going
to
win.
Because
this.
You know why? Everybody's used to it now. Everybody's used to getting the calls
maybe
right.
Maybe we're used to it and we're defeated, but we all kind of hate it.
Yeah. Right. We all do hate it. And it's
get
amazing.
Get rid of replay and our games would all be 2 hours. Yeah. It'd be great.
It's amazing the number of times I get it wrong, even after reviewing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you review that
with
and get
30
that wrong?
Different angles.
He's smacked in the face.
But isn't it kind of the same? Correct. I don't know this, but I'm just using logic here. This is kind of the same thing. We're going to see who touched it last.
Yeah.
But the reason it touched me last is because you smacked me in the head and the ball fell. But
here's
I can't look at the smack in the head. Is that not the same
NBA
thing
we
the ball
grew
left
up with,
his hand?
The NBA all four of us grew up with had zero replay. And it was fine.
Yeah.
It was great.
Call on the floor. Let's go.
You know, and Michael said back then,
okay
too, these
that.
Refs that call technical fouls, if you look at them funny, Michael said the refs would look back at him. You know, not him because he didn't swear a lot, but if somebody complained of a call
stop
and they yell
whining.
At the ref would look at him and say, F you, play. and the player would be like, what? He goes, shut up, or I'm giving you a technical, play.
So, okay, I got a quick story for
Why
you.
Why don't the refs do that?
So,
don't stop the game unless you have to.
The 2 years that I did Laker pre and post,
yeah,
where You guys sit. I would sit on the far right baseline from where you're sitting. Okay. Over there. Yep. Closest
May
side to
over
you.
There most of the time.
Right.
He goes.
So you and I sat together at a few of these games. And they were playing the Clippers one night. And I forget who, it might have been Brooke Lopez, but Blake Griffin and Brooke Lopez are kind of elbowing each other a little bit. And Blake's getting more and more frustrated, more and more frustrated. And I'm sitting close enough to hear the interaction. It's timeout on the floor. Blake Griffin looks at the official and says, look, man, you need to take care of this or I have to take care of this. And the guy kind of doesn't say anything. Come down, another trip down the court. And Blake looks at him again and he takes the whistle out of his mouth and says, shut the up, Blake, and just play.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Does they that not happen anymore?
No, it doesn't. And there's all these young officials that if you look at them funny,
so dumb.
They'll give you a technical. Again, stops the game. Illegal defense. Get rid of it. It stops the game.
So
in international
dumb.
Basketball, there's no such thing as illegal defense.
Yeah.
These reviews stops the
right.
game.
And
those games last night, that may have been the best NBA night in 20 years.
It was fantastic.
It was incredible.
We're all Laker fans, so we're depressed. But if you're like a generic NBA fan,
that was a great time. Game.
Those two games were insane.
Yeah.
But they both could have been better with more flow if we don't stop them unnecessarily. And that would be my argument to the Board of Governors is, can you imagine going to like U2 at the Sphere or going to Broadway and seeing Bryan Cranston in a play and right
and
in the middle
stop.
Of it, they stop it
yeah.
and say, hey, we need to check something.
We need to replay that.
We'll be right back in 4
They'd
minutes.
They still get it wrong. still get it wrong.
I messed up that line. We're going to go back and do it again.
Yep.
It's just stupid.
Oh, my goodness. Super Crosstalk's brought to you by In-N-Out. That's what a hamburger's all about.